Hey, you're listening to the Creative Pep Talk podcast. We help you build a thriving creative practice. I'm your host, Andy J. Pizza. You can stay up to date with all things Creative Pep Talk by following me on Instagram at Andy J. Pizza. Let's get into today's episode. Study 9 months part-time with the Graphic Design Boot Camp from anywhere with Shillington's online graphic design course. You'll graduate with a solid understanding of creative problem solving, design theory, and software, create an incredible design portfolio, and master how to discuss and sell your work, essential skills for any creative career. Learn more at shillo.online/creativepeptalk. That's shillo.online/creativepeptalk. No matter what 2021 brings, you can spend your time creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes because time is what we make of it. Learn about illustration, design, photography, productivity, street fighting, and ballroom dancing. Neither of those are on Skillshare. Skillshare's short classes, you can move your creative journey forward without putting your life on hold. I was checking out Unlocking Your Potential, 5 Exercises to Build Your Creative Confidence with Emma Gannon, writer, novelist, author, broadcaster, podcast host. It looks like a cool class. Go check it out. Skillshare.com/creativepep to get started today. Two free weeks. Video is one of the most effective ways to stand out as a creator online. I was kind of in a monotone. It almost sounded like a robot. Video is one of the most effective ways to stand out as a creator online these days. And with Storyblocks, you can take your videos to the next level with affordable subscriptions, unlimited downloads, and 1 million plus royalty-free assets. You can level up your content. Go to storyblocks.com/creativepeptalk to get started today. Okay, I can't contain it. Huge announcement. Today, we launched the Koloop Podcast Network. We have 6 shows on the network. It's a creative podcast network ranging all kinds of different creative mediums and industries. Obviously, Creative Pep Talk is on there. The other 5 you'll hear more about, interdispersed with other podcasts that we're super thrilled about. Ryan and I sat down and we talked about what the podcast is all about, what you'll expect from it, what the heart behind it is, what our hopes and dreams are for it. And we're going to go into 10 podcasts that are 5 of which are Koloop podcasts, 5 are other ones that we're just also super huge fans of. And we're going to talk about specific episodes with specific tips, tactics, prompts that will juice your creativity. I get asked all the time what my favorite podcasts are and how I get creatively inspired by them. And so this is the answer. So here it is, 10 super inspiring creative tips, tactics, and prompts from my top 10 favorite creative podcasts. If you want to go check out the Koloop podcast while you're listening to this, go to co-podcast.co. and you can see more. That's co-podcastsingular.co. Here we go.
You're listening to the Creative Pep Talk podcast with... No, I'm just kidding. This is Ryan Appleton, co-founder of Koloop, and I'm here with...
Andy J. Pizza.
Also co-founder of Koloop, and I'm turning the tables on him a bit to take the reins and steer the podcast episode you're about to listen to, because we're chatting all things podcast.
So I can chill out. This is the moment I've been waiting for. I love being in the, you know, I've told you this a million times. That's why I like guesting on other people's shows, is it's just a break. It's just like whenever I'm interviewing someone, I'm like, and I've tried to figure out how to chill out a bit. And I have gotten better at it, but I'm feeling really good knowing that you're in the driver's seat this time around.
I'll do the best I can.
Okay.
But I know we have a bunch of exciting things to talk about. This is going to be a really great episode. So the lift I have on, the weight I have on my shoulders is not significant. I'm just equally as pepped, to use your signature phrase, to share and talk about all this cool stuff. So
real quick, I'm just going to tell people what Co-Loop is, because they might have missed it on different episodes, just depending on which ones you listen to.
Great.
Co-Loop is a artist representation agency. And we represent artists in a bunch of different ways. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But this is something we launched at the beginning of 2020. We had no idea that that was the craziest year to launch anything.
Right.
But it actually went fantastic. And we always had all of these hopes and dreams of how to do artist management in a totally different way. For me personally, just so that it makes sense to people, like, I'd started Creative Pep Talk over 6 years ago, and I did it really to encourage artists to empower themselves individually before anyone picked them, before anybody else championed them, champion themselves. And if you do that, you can go really, really far. But in my experience, I found that you will hit a ceiling, and that the only way to break through that next ceiling is going together. It's going with other people, people with different strengths and weaknesses, peers, people like you, Ryan, who helped me offset all of my weaknesses as a creative. And so Co-Loop became, on a missional level, just how do we create something that gathers a bunch of people we really believe in and share resources and help each other and help get to that next level?
Absolutely. I mean, my background being from the artist management side, working in the industry for, you know, going on 8 years, you know, over that period of time, building up this kind of my own internal philosophy on what was missing and what I saw as, you know, the primary artist need, and where I saw the ability to kind of form a new kind of value system to provide that kind of support to, again, help them grow beyond what maybe is possible on their own.
Yeah. And we just had so many conversations of what that could look like, because we saw the space of creatives, you know, thriving in this era, changing so much, and there not being a lot of support systems to help them thrive on a bunch of different levels. And so that's what Co-Loop was. And a big part of that from day one was what we're announcing right now. Do you want to do the honors?
Sure.
Okay.
So as Andy said, you know, early 2020, we launched the artist management side of the agency with intentions to kind of grow beyond that initial foundation all along. And today we can officially announce the launching of the Co-Loop Podcast Network.
Boo! This is something we've been talking about as phase two since the beginning, launching a podcast network. And Ryan, even though we've always talked in an excited way about all the different things we could do to serve artists and help them thrive, tell them how bad I wanted to do this.
Really, really badly. I mean, we can get into like the origins of the precipice of how long we've been having these conversations. But just like the origins of a podcast network in general, it was kind of a no-brainer that Co-Loop would venture into that territory, because it's an extension of what all of the artists, you know, to some extent on the Co-Loop roster are doing. They're in the podcast space, yourself included. And I mean, at least since 2017, I don't know, for a few years, you and I have been talking about, does it make sense for Creative Pep Talk to join another podcast network? It was always this push and pull of being approached by other networks, us having conversations, or debating on whether or not we start our own.
But I feel like one of the things that Ryan gets to see by working with me super closely, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel unable to communicate on the podcast how moody I am and how, you know, I am it's kind of quintessential or cliche artist in that I am so emotional about all my decisions. I ride the wave. You know, last week, for instance, I was telling you how I hate pictures. And then this week I'm like back in love with pictures. I haven't told you that, but that's normal, right? And so yes, early days, we talked about a part of Koloop being a podcast network. So we could essentially represent podcasters or artists that have podcasts. But we went through a middle phase, and a lot of ideas for me do this, where there's this idea, it feels like a calling, and then there's a refusal of the call. There was a huge period of time over the year and over the past, you know, I don't know how long, where I really, really, really tried to figure out any way that we didn't have to create a podcast network, or Creative Pep Talk could just find a different home. And, you know, I really let go of it many, many times.
Well, yeah, and just in full transparency, which I know you know, but for the audience, for the listener, you know, I also struggle with that as well to some extent, because, you know, my background being in artist management, in a lot of ways that was viewed from a traditional lens, especially when I started out. And managing podcasts is not something, you know, that is typically handled. It's talked about in terms of commercial and advertising, illustration and design. So that's something that's new territory. And so I had to wrap my brain around, what does it mean to manage a podcast? What does it mean to help represent a podcaster? And we've, through our conversations over the last few months, year, I think we kind of had an epiphany on that front.
Yeah, we did. And before, I'm going to go circle right back to talk about why we had this mental shift of Koloop, 4 months ago, something like that,
yeah,
that really solidified, we're ready to go all pencils blazing. I avoid any weapon word. I'm like, whoa,
we're willing to push all of our chips to the podcast.
To the podcast network from this breakthrough. But I just want to go back a little bit and say a big part of that building up was we had these conversations with other networks. We had explored all these ways of not doing this thing. And ultimately what happened was we just started to realize that over the past few years, we have learned so much about how to make a thriving podcast, how to do sponsorships in a way that we feel great about, the sponsor feels great about, how to grow a podcast, all of those aspects. And I just realized that that although maybe we didn't need another partner, there's a lot of other podcasters that do. And I know I don't really like being educated, especially on like technical stuff. And I just know so much about podcasting that I wish I didn't, that I got to do something with it. I'm like, this has to be more valuable than just making my podcast. We have to give it to other people. So we kept wrestling with it. We're at the same time, we were looking at other spaces that our artists are in. We always believed that one of the core values of Koloop was artists that build their practice not on a trend, not on a even particular medium, but on artistic voice, in that they know who they are and they do it on purpose, to quote Dolly Parton. And they can actually wear a bunch of different hats. And I think, you know, we're going to talk about some artists that do that, but almost all of my favorite artists are able to kind of cross medium and all that kind of thing. And in 2021, more artists than ever, their thriving career depends on a thriving ecosystem, different ways of applying their artistic voice. And yet, in the past, artist management only really handled one specific expression of a creative's work. And that ends up being just not serving them very well.
Yeah.
And so the realization we had was we're not necessarily starting a traditional podcast network in the way that someone would start one apart from other expressions from an artist. Mm-hmm. It's more that we are representing creators making podcasts. And that ended up coloring everything we did in terms of how we thought about this podcast network. We started seeing it as like, this is a creative podcast network. All the shows are about creativity. As you're going to see, we're going to go through some of the different shows today and then some other shows that we just love. And we're going to talk about first of all, our love for creative podcasts, our love for creator-led endeavors. And yeah, that started to kind of shift how we thought about it, because we're thinking about championing individuals making this creative expression in the same way that an agent would do so for an illustrator or a designer or what have you.
Yeah, and I just want to jump back because you mentioned like not a traditional podcast, you know, network. And that's where I tie it back to the idea of this being a no-brainer. Like, I think we would inevitably ended up here at some point, but having that epiphany, having that aha moment about how we think about representation and offering that extension of our services to podcasters the same way we do, you know, our core roster of artists is because we're also not a traditional artist management agency, right? Those core values and principles that we're built on in regards to like creative voice and diverse creative content was kind of, you know, always the ethos in which we approached everything, like yourself being a podcaster and an illustrator and a book author and a speaker. Like all of our artists have that, and we represent them to whatever extent they need. We're an extension of their studio. And so taking that same philosophy and applying it to podcasts, because these are creatives that one of their mediums of expression happens to be producing a podcast.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that so the shift ended up being that because we talked about this in all these categories, including things like education, all of our artists do things in the world of education. And we kept feeling, I feel like there's no way around being explicit about this. So maybe we'll cut it out. Maybe we won't. But we kept thinking about, does that mean that we have to create our own platform? Does that mean we have all these, you know, almost like an umbrella of businesses? And then we realized like, no, we're here to put the artists first. We're here to serve them in the way that they need to be served. We're here to represent them wherever they need represented. And we started realizing that all of these different arms, whatever they might be, all in some way are a form of representation, yes, podcasts included. And so that was a big shift. That was the kind of, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back of doing it. I don't, that's not a right expression, but that was the thing that pushed us over the limit. We're like, we're going to make this happen. And I think that ultimately what pushed us over was this idea of giving what you didn't get. We've talked about this a few times, I think, since probably every time you've been on the show. Because I think that there is something about my involvement with Koloop. You know, I think from the outside, it looks like why does he want to be a co-founder of artist representation?
Why, Andy?
Yeah. Why? Why? Because, and I think it's just all of our conversations have always gone back to, well, I wish that I had a rep that helped me in this way. And I wish that I had a podcast network that did this for me. And I wish I had a podcast network that was as invested as I was in helping me partner with sponsors where the fit is something I believe in and we can work on multiple levels. And I believe in connecting them to my audience because I think it's actually going to help them. You know, those kind of networks, we had all these conversations. I just thought, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And then I watched the people, our starting roster for the launch of this phase. These are all people who are doing podcasts, and I've just watched them like hustling, doing it on their own, crushing it, but then also facing all of the same things that I face trying to get my podcast off the ground and just watching how like, is it just going to be time that crushes them doing this on their own? Because you watched me, I didn't intend to talk about this, but you watched me last year before I delegated some things and we fixed some sponsorship. And then even way back before when I was handling all the sponsor stuff, before we ended up partnering with that. And you watched me nearly have a breakdown trying to manage all this stuff.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
But it's funny because it's true.
Well, in some way, like helping manage creative pep talks with you and what that meant in terms of freeing up your bandwidth or mental energy to focus on other things, whether it's authoring picture books or focusing on illustration projects with clients, that was what I was cutting my teeth on as we were formalizing what this idea of a podcast network could be and really perfecting this structure of how we want to handle things differently for a podcast. And we codified that, we solidified that in a way that's, you know, without patting ourselves on the back too much, really successful for Creative Pep Talk.
Yeah.
And then go just to go back, it's giving what you didn't get. It's being able to offer this to other podcasters, being able to offer this to the Co-Loop core roster of artists who want to start podcast, and just facilitating them spreading their creative voice in whatever way they see fit.
And I think, you know, listening to the audience saying, okay, I don't want to start a podcast network. What does this have to do with me? I just think that there's a shift that happens when you embody that mindset. And it's hard. I'm telling you, it took me a year of fighting myself, of a year long pity party of being like, why won't somebody just make this easy for me? And I think when you notice yourself of why aren't there any, people championing ADHD? Why aren't there people being forward facing about being on the spectrum? Why are there, all of the different things of that you can feel sorry for yourself about, which I suggest. I think it's part of it. You do need to go through and just wallow for a while. I wallow all the time. Ryan sees me come in. Sometimes I'm just grumpy as hell for some reason.
I gotta see how the pizza's made.
You do, yeah. You see me wrestle with episodes and all and illustrations and all that. But I think tapping into noticing when it's such an essential thing for innovation, creativity, is noticing your own personal pain points and then doing something about them before anybody else does. And that's what the podcast network ended up being. And I feel like once that fire was lit and we started, and then we started connecting with potential podcasters and diving into how brilliant they were, like it just lit me on fire. And I'm so pumped. Do you want to tell them what we're doing here today? What the general idea of this is?
Yeah, I can set it up.
Yeah.
We're going to be going through not only the podcasts that are, launching with the Co-Loop Podcast Network and sharing more about those, but really we're encompassing these 10 tips that you've pulled from some of your favorite podcasts, recent podcast episodes that you've listened to, all within this creative spectrum, and we're going to chat about them.
Yeah, I missed if you said this, but 5 of these are on our roster. Absolutely. 5 of these aren't. They're all podcasts that we're super enthusiastic about. You know, the 5 that aren't, if they wanted to be on the list, I would definitely say yes. I'd have to check with Ryan, but it's always like 2 submarine key turns at the same time. We both have to agree on stuff like that. But every podcast on this episode and on our roster are ones that I am deeply enthusiastic about and have been inspired by. And going back through these and preparing for this was so exciting and inspirational to me. And I want at the end of the episode, remind me to kind of come back to that, because I think there's kind of a big breakthrough that, last week I almost started crying when I was telling you about it. so we should end with that. But yeah, that's the idea. We're going to go every other one. Starting with the Co-Loop podcast. And yeah, every one, we're going to give you a tip, something that really, some little golden nugget that really jazzed me up.
Let's do it. Let's get to it. So let's kick off this list at number 1. Where are we starting with the top 10 tip list?
I've kept it secret just to keep things interesting. And I thought we'll start at the top with Art for Your Ear from the jealous curator herself, Danielle Crissa.
That's a good one.
It's a great one. I love Danielle. She's one of those people where she had, I think the first time we ever talked, I was a guest on her show. And there's just one of those things where there was a clicking moment. I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of complimentary thing between Midwesterners and Canadians. I don't know. But there was just something about, like, I instantly thought we're related. Like, these are my people. And every conversation I have with Danielle's great. And I love the way she has this, I feel like, down-to-earth creatives. What's so great about it is they don't BS. They get into, what is this really all about? And why do I actually care? Whenever Danielle's talking about something, she's never doing so out of some kind of pretentious, putting on airs, trying to impress people, trying to get something. She freaking loves art. And it's the same for me. And that's the primary reason why I'm thrilled is that I just love Danielle and I love all the stuff she does.
She's a two-time guest on Creative Pep Talk as well.
Actually, right? Only one, I think, but I have been on her show a bunch of times. So if you go into, if you're trying to look for a way in, you can go check out the episodes that we did together. I'm especially proud of them. She's a great host.
Yeah, and I just want to second that because every conversation I've had with her, you know, over the last few months, that authenticity, that kind of down-to-earthness, just speaking from her heart about art and the podcast and everything she does, that comes through in spades. Like, it, even hopping on, you know, an initial Zoom call, you know, last fall, it was immediately clear to me how she would fit into the entire kind of Co-Loop atmosphere.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And the episode I want to talk about, so every one of these, we're going to go through the top 10 tips list. We're going to talk about the show, a specific episode, and then a specific takeaway from that episode that personally spoke to me. And I've been – almost all of these are things like I'm wrestling with right now, and they're getting my motivation up, and it makes me excited about making stuff. So the episode I wanted to talk about is her latest interview with Wayne White. Do you know Wayne White?
I do, yes.
Okay. What was your, you're a pretty good, you're a pretty big Pee Wee Herman fan, right?
I am, yeah.
We have a Pee Wee Herman doll in the office from you, and yeah.
I was going to say we shouldn't mention that. It's weird to be a grown man who collects Pee Wee Herman dolls, but that is true. That's probably where I first became aware of his work from my, you know, my childhood love of Pee Wee Herman and, you know, continuing through my adulthood, so.
Yeah, I mean, Pee Wee Herman is the trippiest, weirdest thing. I remember – the funny thing is I feel like a lot of people when they talk about the show, they're talking about it like, my mind was just like, what the heck is going on? And I feel like I felt like so at home watching.
Yeah.
I just felt like this is right. This feels good. And Wayne White, if you don't know, he did a bunch of the props and puppets and a bunch of the creative stuff that they did. A lot of it was like homespun, like crafted stuff. And that a lot of that was Wayne White working on the show. He also is a painter and animator. He's done all kinds. He's had an amazing, inspiring career. And she had him on the show for the second time after like a 5-year hiatus or something. And highly recommend that episode. It was so inspiring to me. Just hearing his attitude about creativity is infectious. But on top of that, the thing that really got me is that he talked about – he's doing this puppet show thing in the pandemic on Instagram, or he had been.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if it's on there. I think like – he wants to like take it to the next level. So he might have taken it down. I'm not sure. But he was doing all these all these puppet shows. And he kind of realized while he was talking that puppet shows are a coping mechanism. He noticed, I think, by going through his story with Danielle, that all of the tough times is when he started putting on puppet shows. Hmm. So like his tough times in college when he was uninspired, tough times early days in New York. He just realized like this is something he retreats to when the creative process of the stuff he's doing in his day job or whatever he's having to do to make ends meet is like really frustrating him. That going and doing this thing on his own really helps him cope. And the reason I bring this up as a tip is I think it's a really good prompt to get to what is play for you? What do you do creatively that just makes you come alive and you would do it whether you got paid? There's something about that endless fuel and that genuine expression that I think is the best of your creativity. And I was going to ask you, what do you think that is? Because I've been wrestling with it. I think I have an answer, but it's kind of an unexpected, and I don't know, kind of unexpected. What do you think that is for me?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So
I want to know yours as well, because that's a more normal question.
You're putting me on the spot to judge you in that way or just critique you in that. You know, I'm not sure what is the thing you would do regardless if you're getting paid or not. I mean, it's going to be a slash, but probably tell stories / be entertaining. Like, yeah. Regardless if this microphone was in front of you or if you were sharing your illustrations on Instagram, I think you would do it regardless. You would do it without the audience.
Yeah. And I think I try to get it down because I think it's I encourage people listening, try to boil it down to the most specific thing. And I think you're right about that. I think if I had to summarize it in one word, it's talking.
Yeah.
I love talking. And I looked back through all of the – I tried to zero in it with the prompt on the hard times of what do I do in the hard times to get through. And it's I start calling people. I start calling people and having long conversations until I'm like through the roof. Like, I can do what, you know, Abby Jacobson, let's do this, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I have to do that. And there's something about, you know, whether it's talking on stage, talking in an interview, doing a monologue. I really, I think the thing that is inspiring to me about working that out is that, and maybe this is true for other people, it might not be something that others even see as an art form.
The ability to talk.
Well, that, but whatever they have too.
Okay, yeah.
Like I think because it's really easy to look at Wayne White and be like, puppet shows. And everyone's like, amazing. We love that. And so it's great if your creative coping mechanism is something that other people already see the value in, but maybe they didn't. Maybe he was doing these puppet shows and because he was doing them at like house parties in New York while he was doing a day job, doing other stuff. And maybe people were like, why is he doing this? That's not art. Your creative coping mechanism might be something that you have to see as art before other people do.
Yeah.
And I think for me, talking is just the most rich creative medium to me. It's so flexible. When trying to get at the ineffable, it's so slippery talking, like it's very hard to nail down. Unlike writing feels so like in pictures, even more so. I like that I feel like you can get at the ineffable in a way with words and talking because you can put it in the color of your voice and the tone and all that mixed with words. There's just so much you can do because all the things I like in life are so hard to pin down. And if you really try to make them literal and non-abstract, you lose something in the process. But if you can say the wrong grammar, you can like mess it up on purpose or not. All of it adds to the humanity. I just love it. I love talking.
Yeah. So how would, in the episode, do they get into kind of specific of like, how does one find that for themselves?
I don't think that they do. And actually I feel like one of the things I was going to say going through is, I feel like it's really essential as a podcast listener to be, and I think people that listen to this show, they always pull out things that I didn't intend as tips and be like, that was the most inspiring thing. I was like, that's something I said on accident. What are you talking? What are you talking about? And so I feel like that's what's so great about conversations like this. And there's a few other ones on this list that where, you know, you're going to take something totally different than they intend. But really they're just telling his story and there's so much you can glean from just paying attention to that. Another one that I just was going to mention was, they talk a little bit about synesthesia and how creativity, this is something, you know, I think about a lot, how all creativity is almost an attempt to, it's not synthesized, but you're trying to create synesthesia from something else. You're trying to create a feeling or a thought or a smell or whatever it is without using that thing, without having that direct experience. And I was talking with a creative recently who was struggling with her personal taste, and she felt like, man, I'm a visual artist, but I'm so inspired. I'm mainly inspired by music. Like that's where my taste is, but I don't play music, so I'm really frustrated. And I was saying, yeah, but one of the most interesting things you could do is to try to visualize how music makes you feel. Like make that synesthetic leap. And that is where dance comes from. Dance is a visual interpretation. It's like, this is what this song looks like.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, can you, that's another one, but there was a bunch of stuff in there.
That's great.
Yeah. It was a great episode.
So what I think that's super, I mean, that's inspiring to me just to, talking through that, the idea of finding like a creative coping mechanism and realizing how powerful that can be for yourself. And also that could be something you pursue to develop, you know, professionally or outside that. What what would you say to someone who has never listened to Danielle's podcast before? Like, what is the sales pitch, the summary of like what they can expect?
I think what I would say is that, first of all, I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to make it clear that the Co-Loop Podcast Network is a creative podcast network. And when we say creative, we're hinting at that it's cross-industry. It's, you know, we have poets, we have musicians, we have filmmakers, we have
teaser.
All over. I know. Yeah, it's a teaser, but it's all over the map. And so the first thing I would say is, first of all, I want to encourage all creatives to cross-pollinate with other industry podcasts, because some of the most, you can just see yourself from a different perspective when they're talking through a different medium. So, you know, I wouldn't be afraid of it if you're not a fine artist, but Danielle is more in the fine art world. And so it's especially good for those people who are really wanting to dive into that. And then I think more than anything, she's kind of on a mission to make fine art more human and less pretentious. And so if you love art, but you're sick of the pretense, this is your show.
Amazing. Number two
is not a Co-Loop Network podcast. We're doing every other, remember. And this is Small Doses with Amanda Seales. Now, I've kind of told you about it, but I'm not sure you've listened.
I haven't. I'm aware, and I'm definitely going to dive in at some point. But yeah, I'm interested to hear more.
The thing about this show is that I had never heard of it, and I had some creative pepperoni email me and say, you should definitely check out this show. It's the only show that is similar to Creative Pep Talk in her mind.
Okay.
And I think that's mainly because a lot of episodes are monologues, and a lot of them are, and then some of them are interviews, but they're really from this creator's perspective. If you don't know Amanda Seales, she's a hilarious comic and thinker and creator. She does a bunch of different things. She has a book out, but she's been doing this podcast for a long time. And the reason I'm a huge fan of the show, first of all. And if you like Creative Pep Talk, I have a feeling that you will like this show. Although it's a totally different perspective, a different kind of take on creativity. I feel like our personality is really different in terms of I feel like Amanda's a lot more tough love than me.
Okay.
Which is, I need that a lot.
And so it's a good compliment to the things you talk about and the tips you share on Creative Pep Talk.
Yeah. And Amanda's, you know, also like on TV and all does all this amazing, crazy stuff. I would say any of the episodes are great. I would check out, there's a few monologue ones that I think are especially good. One of the ones that I was just listening to is Side Effects of, all of the titles, by the way, start with Side Effects. Side Effects of something. And the Side Effects of Creative Process, she's talking about how she got to write the book that's inspired by her podcast with the same title. And she's just, in a similar way to the way that I think, she's breaking down something that we kind of think of in big picture abstract and making it a lot more literal and able to kind of hold on to it. So she's breaking down that episode into how she had the idea to have a book, and then what happens after you have an idea. Then are you excited about it? And then do you think, oh, could I pull this off? And then she's just like kind of going through the phases of making it an idea, bringing it to fruition. And it's just really great. But she's one of a handful of people that really changed the way I saw podcast. Both her and Johnny Pemberton and another podcaster on it that we're going to get to used different effects and different kind of sounds and theme songs. And they made podcasts in my mind more of a more of an art form. And the thing I wanted to share, the tip I wanted to share, was there's two ways to say this next phrase. And I think that they kind of change everything for your career.
Okay.
So here's the first way that I usually hear it when I'm talking with a creator who's struggling and they don't know what to do next. And they talk about some weird side passion or interest or obsession or whatever that they just don't have anything, they can't do anything with it. And I'm like, why can't you? And they're like, well, no one in my industry does that. No one in my industry does that. That's one way of saying that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
There's a totally different way, which is no one in my industry does this.
That's exactly where I thought you were going to go. And I was hoping was the kind of tip you pulled from the episode.
Yeah.
Because that's where my mind went as well.
Yeah. And so, you know, when I was years into the podcast, someone showed me Amanda's show and I started listening to it. And I thought, man, I've been trying to make a podcast an art form. And here's someone doing that same thing. And we've reached these different conclusions. And I just felt like so inspired because listening to her show feels like this is a show, just in the same way a TV show is a show. It's as legit. It's as crafted as it has as much personality. It has as much production. It just feels like a thing, like art. Yeah. And I was just like, man, that's amazing. And it goes back to why I started a podcast. When I started podcasting and I wanted to talk about the business and the kind of actual spirit of trying to build a creative practice. You know, the nuts and bolts of like, here's all the crap that's really hard. It gets in the way, you know, but it's completely necessary. And the more you lean into it, the better marketing, all that kind of stuff. And then on top of that, the soul crushing, the soul affirming, the, you know, you're putting your whole self into this thing. And at the time, everybody in the illustration and design industry, you know, they were either doing podcasts where it was just shop talk as an interview or, you know, and I wanted to do monologues, which nobody was doing. And the monologues, like talks at conferences, were all portfolio talks. You know, they were all like, for the most part, just kind of like going through your portfolio and maybe you're telling your story a little bit along the way. But I wanted to talk about ideas and my heart and I wanted to spill my guts and all that stuff. And I felt like, and I put it off. So I started in 2014. Do you know when I wanted to start it?
2012?
2010, actually.
Oh.
2010. I wanted to start this podcast in 2010, except the way that I said no one in my industry does that was like the first kind.
Yeah. That was the roadblock for you.
Yes. It was like, I can't go on there and talk about business. No one in my industry does that. I can't go in there and talk about my heart and my emotion and my spirit and all that stuff. No illustrator talks like that.
Well, in 2010, you know, 2012, around that time, no one was pulling back the curtain in any way, really, let alone to talk about business and how you actually could make a thriving creative practice on creative careers.
Or, right? Yeah, but and I think of it both sides. And no one was talking about how, you know, they would go up on stage for the most part. There's exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, they go up on stage and be like, here's my shiny portfolio, shiny clients. This is how I crushed it. They're not talking about like laying face down on the living room floor and feeling like you're spiritually dead, like right. Whatever that is. And I wanted to do both of those things because those were the pieces to what it actually meant to make progress as a creative. And eventually, I didn't realize it at the time, but I shifted that from a roadblock to the only opportunity worth pursuing, which is nobody else is doing this. And as I'm listening to how Amanda approaches a podcast, they do all these sound effects and all this crazy stuff and she just like really owns the monologue space. It just emboldened me when I discovered it. And every time I dip into that, I'm like, man, this is so good. And I'm excited to be a monologuer again. So yeah, that's what I would say. There's another one, Side Effects of Inspiration is also really cool. And just any of them, you're gonna dig it.
I mean, you certainly made me want to check out the podcast. I mean, that episode alone sounds super intriguing. And it's something we're talking to artists about all the time is just that idea of like finding your unique voice and the unique fit you have, what you have to offer is what you're sounding. It sounds like that tip really is like, if you have something unique to say, don't realize that is to your detriment. Or if you're combining different skill sets and different mediums, that is only a positive thing.
Yes, absolutely. And it's easy to be self-conscious about standing out when that's the whole point of art. Okay, small doses with Amanda Sales. That's number two.
Awesome.
Imagine a world where every single creative outlet is at your fingertips. Imagine blocks of story. You don't have to imagine anymore. Just go to storyblocks.com/creativepeptalk for all of your wildest dreams to become reality. Well, they have a bunch of royalty-free assets like the one you're listening to now. Super fun stuff. If you're making creative content online, you got to check it out. Storyblocks.com/creativepeptalk. 1 million plus royalty-free assets, music, video, all kinds of cool stuff. Go check it out. Storyblocks.com/creativepeptalk. Shillington has an online graphic design boot camp. Become a graphic designer in 9 months. This is intensive, legit stuff, but don't take it from me. Take it from someone who did it. Sarah said, I had been wanting to study graphic design for some time, and it soon became apparent that almost everyone universally suggested I go to Shillington. By studying it online at Shillington, I was able to save valuable time, not by commuting and using it more productively to work on the course material. The biggest advantage, though, was having the ability to work one-on-one with my teachers. I super believe in that. Go check it out, shillo.online/creativepeptalk. Shillo, shillo.online/creativepeptalk. I've been diving into Emma Gannon's work, author, broadcaster, podcaster, all kinds of stuff. Go check out her new class, Unlocking Your Potential, 5 Exercises to Build Your Creative Confidence. It's really all about how to stop yourself from self-sabotaging. I struggle with this. There's certain things that will help me, that will make me go into this downward spiral, want me to delete all the things that I'm working on. I get in my head, I get worried and worked up. This class is all about unlocking that and identifying that. Check it out, skillshare.com/creativepep for 2 free weeks. Go check out Emma Gannon's class, skillshare.com/creativepep.
Okay, we're working our way through this top 10 list, and we're on number 3, which is another Co-Loop Podcast Network podcast.
Correct. That's the way that the every other format works out.
That's the way counting works.
Yes, counting. Number 3 is The Wandering Wolf with Yoni Wolf.
The titular wolf.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Like the when you refer to, like, the main character's name is in the title, like Captain America, the titular Captain America is.
Anyways. Yes, that's correct. Yoni Wolf, for people that don't know, he has a band called Y, one of my all-time favorite bands. It's the theme music at the start of every episode of this show. I got obsessed when I was in college. I was making rap music, weirdly. You know that?
I knew that, but I don't know if your listeners knew that you made rap music.
I was making rap. It was bad rap music, but it was like, I was trying to do like something experimental. And I think it was just an outlet outside of the visual art I was doing for school. And then I found Yoni Wolf and the band Y, and then I quit because it was basically what I was trying to do, except he knew how to actually do it. And it was amazing. And it was just, I was just so obsessed. And so if you haven't heard their band, go check it out. It's
highly recommend.
So good. Alopecia is their kind of was their breakthrough record, and that was the one I discovered in college. But everything they've made before and since has been fantastic.
I mean, I just want to note, irregardless of the podcast and the tips we're about to talk about, Yoni Wolf and Y is on constant rotation in the studio here. So
yes, okay. So the Wandering Wolf podcast. I love this show. It's a music podcast. He's mostly interviewing indie musicians that are friends or bands that come through, but they're all bands that he's fans of. And And what I love about this and why I'm like, I see so much potential for how needed this show is. It really reminds me of, he kind of reminds me of the Marc Maron of the indie music world, where he's a indie musician in his own right and a respected one and acclaimed one. And so he's coming with kind of the insider baseball. That's a thing, right? Okay. Ryan likes baseball. And he's kind of talking with some authority on that, but also I feel like musicians have a really hard time opening up about their practice. I think we're going to – kind of the point that I want to pull out of this is about intuitive art forms and how it is hard to kind of articulate. It's always hard to articulate and dissect creative things without them dying on the table. And I think musicians especially – have a hard time opening up about their practice, why they do what they do, you know, whatever. And I think that actually used to be true for comedy. Now, we don't think of that now because, you know, there's so many great comedy podcasts, but it used to be like, don't talk about the jokes. Don't talk about how you do it. Don't talk, you know, or you'll forget how to do it. You'll break it down. Creatively, you'll get stuck.
Well, and to tie it back to design and illustration really quickly, I think that's kind of what we were talking about in terms of, you know, when you wanted to start a podcast that seeming to be like anti to the norm, illustrators, designers didn't talk about what was behind that curtain. They didn't share the inside baseball.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think music is still there. And I feel like Yoni's podcast has potential of breaking that open a little bit, because in my opinion, the deconstruction of the creativity is a kind of valley. When you get into that zone where you're really trying to focus on the mechanics and figure out how do your heroes do what they do, how do you create an emotional response in somebody with, you know, notes on a guitar or, you know, drawings on a page. Like, once you start deconstructing it for a season, it does start to fall apart. And you do kind of, you start overthinking things. But I feel like all the greats go through that valley and even down to individual pieces of work, but then also on a grander scale in terms of their overall journey. And so I want to encourage, let's talk about the practice. Let's wrestle with it. Let's look it dead in the eye instead of trying to, you know, attack intuition and your muse at, you know, catch him off guard. Like, I think that there's something about that I'm just huge about. And he's like doing super interesting stuff in that space. The episode I want to talk about is with a band, the lead singer of the band Hop Along, which I was already a fan of. It's indie, but she kind of sounds like Natalie Merchant. It's like 90s alternative rock, like Sheryl Crow, Natalie Merchant mixed with like Modest Mouse.
Okay.
Super into it. I'll show you. You haven't heard that. I don't think we've
ever listened to it. I haven't. So Yoni has her on the podcast and they're talking about this idea of Creative Valley.
So what they're talking about is the thing that they brought up that I was inspired by is they were talking about how Drake tests his own music, how he gets high on his own supply. They don't use that phrase. That's my phrase. But I'd forgotten about this and I didn't know. So I'd heard that Drake says he's trying to make music to listen to while you're driving at night, right? Like that's his vision for his practice. But I didn't know that he actually, after he makes music, drives around at night and listens to it to try to feel
it. He's practicing what he preaches. He says, this is what I'm trying to do. He needs to test it out.
Tested himself. And so the reason I love that, so they talked a little bit about that. And they generally, I feel like we're trying to wrestle with both them approach their lyric writing in a kind of poetic way. And although there's a bunch of mechanics to poetry, there's also a lot of like stuff you can't nail down. You can't quite explain why you do what you do or how it works. There's an intuitive kind of level to that. And I love that tip, the Drake thing, because that's saying, I can't tell you what I'm trying to do in my music, but I can say I kind of want it to hit in the way that music hits when it just feels so right when you're driving in cars at night.
That's super interesting. So there's still an element of secret sauce and intangible, but if you can develop some kind of target or some kind of litmus test to which you can gauge that intangible against, that makes it more actionable.
Yes. And I think so my takeaway from that and what I'm trying to encourage our listeners to do is write that line, that elevator pitch for your stuff and then test it. You know, when I'm one of the ways I kind of do this is I've been designing a lot of t-shirts. I've been trying to just get good at that. And what that's meant is designing a bunch and then wearing them all the time and actually feeling what that feels like. And when would I want to wear them? And what do I want it to say when I wear these? Like, what am I trying to communicate? And I think what it came down to, it took forever for me to figure this out, was that it's like a boyish cool. It's just like what you thought was cool before you knew cool. Like, yeah. There's something about on the nose cool that just makes me want to puke. Like, I can't deal with like edgy stuff. It's just not my cup of tea. And so there's something about playful cool, you know, like snakes, swords, wolves, lighters, wizards, dragons. There's just something about all that. That's,
if you were looking at a Polaroid from you in middle school, you want to say that kid was cool.
Yeah, I would go back a little bit further than that, but yes. Yeah. That. And so that's my takeaway. If you're, you know, a lot of visual artists, it's an intuitive thing. So what you need to do is you need to actually listen to your body. That's the language of Lulu Miller. We had her on this show. She's the co-host of Radiolab. But that's how you test something that can't be explained. Is just did you feel it? Did it hit you on a deep level? And create that, define that marker. I just loved hearing them kind of talk around. They also talk about Astral Weeks, Van Morrison, and what that record feels and sounds like. And it's an intuitive, inexplicable thing. But the way they talked about it made me want to dive back into there. One of my all-time favorite songs on there, and it just like built. It's called Sweet Thing. It just builds the whole time. To me, if I had to tell you what it feels like what I imagine if there's a heaven, what it feels like when you step in. It's just like,
okay.
It just gets better and better and better. And it's just the tension of the emotional rise is forever because it never breaks. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff they're talking about.
Yeah. And what I think is so powerful about that tip is that it transcends medium. It transcends the form of creativity. But it's kind of encouraging, again, no matter what kind of creative you are, whatever practice you have. And I think that's super cool just in terms of what we're building with the Co-Loop Podcast Network. Yoni kind of fits in that mold in the same way that this tip that you're pulling from his podcast does, right? He's a musician. We don't have any other musicians on the podcast network right now, but it's a creative network.
Yes. And I think highly recommend it. Bunch of other great episodes. He interviewed Lord on there. That's a really good one. There's a few others Frankie Cosmos, Japanese Breakfast. Also Johnny Pemberton, I think, who was on this show. I think he did an episode. Duncan Trussell. All kinds of really great ones to check out. Highly recommend it, especially if you're into indie music. Let's leave it there.
The Wandering Wolf.
The Wandering Wolf.
Four, let's keep up this momentum. What is the next tip?
Okay. It's not the next podcast. We have to start.
What's the next podcast and what's the next tip?
And then we'll go to the next tip. Good one. The Good One podcast by Vulture with host Jesse David Fox. Have you ever listened to it?
I have not.
You're not a huge comedy guy like I am.
Correct. That's a nice way to put it.
you don't seek out comedy, but
I do enjoy comedy. I like to laugh. I watch comedy movies, but I don't seek it out.
I can attest he can chuckle with the best of them. I don't judge him, but not that anybody would. Nobody likes it like I do. Jesse David Fox. So this is not a Co-Loop podcast, but I am such a huge fan of this show. It's, you know, nuts and bolts, talking chop, mechanics, break, deconstructing particular jokes from stand-ups.
Okay.
And so they'll be like, most of the time it's like a quintessential joke from a famous stand-up comedian, and they'll play it, and then they'll talk about like, how did you come up with that? What was the, you know, what was the conception point of that? How did you, what different phases did it go through? All that kind of stuff. I'm a sucker for that in any medium.
Classic comedians or current?
All. Okay. It goes the spectrum. We're going to talk about a classic one. There's tons of, up and comers even, and people I hadn't heard of that I discovered through this podcast. I love it because one of the things that I think makes an incredible podcast host is someone who is not afraid to be pedantic. There's some secret, like I think I've heard Ira Glass talk about, like, or Alex Bloomberg just saying, like, ask the same question three times. If you ask them and they give you the canned answer, or they, you know, or they avoid it, like a lot of times there's just something that happens when you're like, hey, can we just zoom in there? Like, especially in creative stuff, because again, so intuitive. A lot of times it's hard to nail it down, but when you try, interesting things happen. And so there's lots of times where Jesse will zoom in on a particular punchline and be like, where did that come from? What? And the comic will have to stop and be like, where did that come from?
And it's
from?
Only through that conversation and like talking through it, do they have the realization or can put it into words?
Yeah. The micro of the creative process is so rich and it's so avoided by so many creatives, you know, going there. And so for a bunch of reasons, I get it. But on the outsider as a consumer, I just feel like it's the most educational and it's the most inspiring to me when someone, and the reason why I point that out is because being that kind of interviewer, it really challenges you because you're usually interviewing people that you want to like you. You want to impress them, you know? So pushing them or you know, circling back or at the risk of being annoying, that takes someone dedicated to it. And he does a great job of that. But here's the episode we're going to talk about. What comic do you think I'm going to pick?
I have no idea. if I had to make a educated guess, maybe Jerry Seinfeld.
That's a pretty good guess. I thought you were going to say James A. Acaster because, you know, I'm a huge James A. Acaster fan. I don't think he's on the show yet, but he definitely should be. I'm actually going to go with Sinbad.
Okay. Not the choice I would have guessed.
Obviously. Okay. Sinbad, and the reason why is this was such a huge – this created a new kind of core value of mine. And the core value is go find people like you doing things you didn't know you could do. Hmm. It is a way of releasing you from limiting beliefs in such a powerful way that nothing else has this impact on me. When I meet people who are existing at a higher level than me, and I can tell they're exactly, I'm just like them. It just changed, like that changes like how much money you think you can earn, how, you know, what you're capable of as a creative, what you're capable of in terms of discipline, what all the different areas where we have these fixed mindsets, it just breaks it off. And Sinbad is very ADHD. And they talk a lot about it. When I hear someone with ADHD talking, it is the most soothing sound. It is the most, it makes me feel like, you know, my particular type of crazy is not my fault, first of all. Like, it's not like a thing that if I just slowed down or, you know, there's nothing I can do. Right. It's a way a brain works. Here's the evidence. And not only that, that brain can actually be an asset. So listening to Sinbad talk about his approach to comedy, which is very different, was huge for me because he goes on stage with almost no material ever. And there's something about the writing on stage practices of comics like this that is a way of getting around the ADHD procrastination, throwing you in the deep end. Be like, yeah. All right, make something. You have no other choice. You're on stage for 40 minutes. There's just something. And let's just build on that. Let's just roll that, snowball that over time. It's just a hack on how to make myself actually make stuff, right? So that's a big part of it. But I have another part too.
Well, I just want to say, I think there's a nice through line or callback to the tip from Amanda's podcast on if you realize that you want to do something that no one else in your industry or your profession does, that's actually a perk. This is kind of similar in the way that find people that are similar to you and that are doing things that are completely different and use that to empower yourself.
That especially works well looking to other industries, you know, going back to the fact that Yeah. Even if you're not a comedian, even if you're not a musician, whatever, listen to these other podcasts because you're going to find people like you doing things in other industries that are total faux pas in your world. And that's actually going to give you your unique selling point.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah, I totally agree with that. The other thing that I love about this episode that I've been thinking a lot about is Sinbad, at least pre-COVID, is just crushing it in Vegas. Okay. And what is great about that is you're going to hear more and more content about this. I'm working on some other stuff behind the scenes, but
with Sinbad,
I really wish that was true. You know, Sinbad is a part of, one of the, what's it called when people think that there's a other universe, that split,
like a multiverse.
Yeah. But like, you know, like Berenstain Bears thing?
Yeah, yeah.
There's one involving Sinbad. Oh,
Mandala effect?
Yeah. There's one with him. Everybody should go later and check it out. Absolutely. Because a lot of
people... That's a can of worms, but yeah, we can talk about that.
We won't go there. But one of the things that I loved thinking about Sinbad crushing it in Vegas is I didn't even know he was working.
Okay? I had a similar realization, actually, them talking about him on another podcast. So,
And what made me so inspired by that is that stand-up comics, I'm always learning from them, not only because I'm a fan, but also because they're like one person sufficient in terms of they're not waiting to get casted. They're not waiting for someone to give them permission. They know a particular type of value and how to produce it for an audience straight to them. They don't need anybody else's permission or validation to do that. And I really believe that that is the firmest foundation for a creative. No matter what you do, even if a big part of your practice is B2B, actors, illustrators, they need to be cast by a director, a director or an art director or a casting director. They're waiting. And so even if it's your weaknesses, you will learn so much and you will become so much less dispensable if you'll learn the writing portion or the other portion so that in some way you can deliver value straight to your customer. Have that B2C side of your business. And that was where I really started thinking about it was Sinbad. It's like, this guy's crushing it. He doesn't need the whole world to know about him. He knows how to show up into a room and make a bunch of people laugh. People will pay for that forever.
That's great.
I'll just say real quick, go find Gary Goldman has a big bit on Trader Joe's that's great, but he also is famous for sharing comedy tips every day on Twitter, and they go through a bunch of cool stuff on that episode. Jenny Slate episode was – I love Jenny Slate. Seems like a kindred spirit to me. When she said that her brain feels like Spirited Away – I have never felt more seen. Never. That is exactly how I would put it. When I watched that movie, I was like, oh, this is like my dreams. This is how my dreams feel. And I never can articulate it. Rhea Butcher is another one. Anyway, they're all really good.
I mean, this podcast sounds great, even from a person that, you know, generally steers away or doesn't seek out comedy, but it sounds so much up your alley. But I think mainly from the part of just dissecting the creative process and finding the quirks within there, finding what works and what doesn't, and maximizing, you know, a strategy around that idea.
So not a Co-Loop podcast, but a phenomenal one, a good one podcast by Vulture with Jesse David Fox.
Top tip number 5 in another Co-Loop Podcast Network podcast. What are we talking about today? That's
right. We're talking about Meg Lewis's podcast, Sit There and Do Nothing. Obviously, Meg Lewis is a Co-Loop artist on the roster that we've already launched. We're both huge fans of Meg as an artist and especially as a person.
1,000,000%.
I love her. I feel like she's a long lost family member for me. I really do feel like that. The first, you know, we had our first speaking gig at a conference, at the same conference.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think she went on before me and she was like passing out, I think, Olive Garden breadsticks.
Absolutely.
And I remember that's just true. Being like, yeah. this person. And I like ran up to her afterwards. I was like, you're going to be huge. You're going to be huge. See, like, I was just like, I love it. I was such a fan. And I was really deeply inspired by, this was a point in her career where she really was like coming into her own in terms of owning who she was. And I remember just feeling, I think what's interesting, her and I were just having a conversation. I don't think she'll mind me saying this, about how both of us have had to overcome like gender stereotypes in our creativity. And I think just watching her do that inspired me to push that further for myself and just be more myself. I think this is, I don't know, maybe very vulnerable, but I think that I'm very emo. I'm very expressive. I don't like most typically conventionally masculine things. And I think that that can make some people uncomfortable. And yeah. I feel like I've watched her and she's just a hero of mine over the past couple of years, especially the more and more she gets out there, just the more she deals with crap around gender roles and all kinds of things.
All kinds of stereotypes. You know, podcast aside, which we're obviously talking about Sit There and Do Nothing, but I think that's the most inspiring part of what Meg does every day in her creative practice and just in her life, is fully embrace who she is and what makes her personality unique. And she expresses that. And I realized that was a process, right? She didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to reveal my entire self to the world. But what she's been able to do over the last few years and really kind of open up and tackle some of those stereotypes or just fully be comfortable sharing that with the world. I think that's inspiring.
Very inspiring. And the episode I pulled out, I'm not pulling out a tip from it. I'm going to pull out a different tip that I learned from Meg, but I'll just mention it real quick. Have you listened to the Scatman episode?
You know, I have not.
It's okay. So what it is, Sit There and Do Nothing. Right now, and I think it's an ever-evolving podcast, is a meditate. It's a really weird Venn diagram that, again, is no one in my industry does this. Maybe no one in the world has done this, which is a Venn diagram of mindfulness, meditation, and comedy. But they're both done genuinely. That's what's so – like, I think she just kind of wanted to say, can you do – mindfulness through the and have a good time? Like, Does it have to be somber? You know, it reminds me kind of, have you heard of yoga laughing?
Yeah.
Okay. I love yoga laughing. I love the concept of it. I love doing it, just forcing yourself to laugh.
We're not doing that here
today. Now. But there's something about yoga laughing that I feel is synonymous with Meg's podcast. The episode that I brought up, Scatman, is her in a soothing voice reading the lyrics of the 90s hit Scatman. And it has the effect of, first of all, it is genuinely soothing. And then at the same time, it has the feeling of a funhouse, which is kind of both. You're like laughing, and then at the same time, I was getting visuals of like, you know, the scene in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when they're going through the tunnel, and you don't know if this is heartfelt, funny, or scary. Insanity. That's kind of what it felt like. But it's a ride. It's a ride. All the episodes are like that, and they're all super funny. And I think she's doing some really interesting, creative stuff there.
Yeah, and I think that Venn diagram is really just kind of that overlap of Meg's personality as well, right? Like, she's taking soothing or like approachable, authentic, and pairing that with loving to laugh and being outspoken and just those kind of elements of being a fun house, having fun, right?
And I think also the fun of the journey within. Yeah. She's someone who I've learned so much about finding myself from her. She really works in the space of branding, but that can span from, first of all, I think she takes a more holistic approach to branding than anybody I know. It's always a deeper, it's more about finding yourself either as a brand or as a person with a personal brand. And she's made a big impact on me in terms of finding that for myself. One of the things she said, the tip I wanted to bring up, was actually back from the first time I had her on the show. And I asked her, how, you know, what's the first thing you would ask someone to do if they want to take finding themselves seriously? And do you remember what she said? Do you know?
I do, but relay it to the audience.
Okay. She said, start with your faults. Start with the things that you're insecure about. And I thought that was so brilliant. And she said, then flip it. Because every fault, every weakness has a strength. They always work in tandem. And what's amazing about that is I think it hacks the way our brains work. I think our brains are wired not for thriving, but for surviving. That because they evolved back when you were going to get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or be ostracized from the tribe and die based on whether you made the right choice. Everything was life or death. And so I think our brains are wired to highlight the times when people in our community diss us, highlight something about us that is negative. And if you think about those things, you can see the flip side and you can see that there's a bunch of times where people in your community highlighted the positive aspect of that, but you forgot it.
Yeah.
And so go ahead. What did I say?
I had my own epiphany with you relaying that tip from Meg. And it kind of caught me off guard, but without getting too much in the nitty gritty, I think that same idea was true for me, you know, a number of years ago. When I first started out in the artist management industry, I got the feedback that I was too personable. I let the relationships with the artist or the nature in which I handled a project be too – I was too involved in that way. And that was kind of reiterated to me as a weakness. And I think over the years, that actually became the strength and one of the foundational bricks of what Co-Loop is.
Yeah, the opposite of too personal is relational.
Yeah.
And that's one of our core values. And so I had a similar one where I've told this story on the podcast before, so I'll make it quick. But I had an art director in my early days say, you know, when I want to like fill a page just like mindlessly from top to bottom, I hire you. And I was like he was saying it to hurt me. I was hurt. And I thought, oh man, I got to get subtle. I got to, you know, where's the nuance? Where's the white space? I need to just, you know, flood this thing. And I ended up going on this tangent of being something I wasn't for a long time, trying to offset this so-called weakness, which in actuality, the opposite of subtle is attention grabbing. And guess what? A lot of clients want that. In fact, it's what I like. I like loud stuff. I'm very loud, generally. And it's actually a super huge strength. And so that was the thing that, and actually, you know, I feel like go check out Sit There and Do Nothing. I think it's a study of someone loving themselves and embracing everything about them. And even just through osmosis, it always encourages me to do the same in bigger ways.
Yeah, and I think that Meg embodies that philosophy in her podcast and all of her work and everything she does again. And for that reason, I think it's because of that it's the first podcast that we've had transcend that gap of, yes, Co-Loop represents her. She is an artist on the core roster, and she's also a member of the podcast network.
Yep. Great. Okay, that's it for this episode. The next five will drop tomorrow. Go check it out. It's going to be the first ever time, I think, that we've released two episodes in 1 week, but that's a special week, and we wanted to do it these justice. I am so pumped to give you the next half, but before we go, I just wanted to say, diving into these podcasts again and preparing for this in kind of an intensive way over the past couple weeks, it actually did my soul so much good. And I just wanted to leave you with one freebie tip. I guess this is kind of going to be the 11th tip, but If you are struggling with burnout, consider, if you're struggling trying to make new fans and you're burning out on that, maybe consider just setting that down and becoming a fan again. You know, becoming a fan of these podcasts and diving in over the past couple of weeks again has just made me enthusiastic about making stuff in a way that I haven't felt in a long time. And it just felt so good to celebrate other people's work instead of getting so burdened by my own practice and in my own ideas. And it just felt great about getting enthusiastic about other people. And maybe you need that. Maybe you just need to quit worrying about making fans and become a fan again so you remember why you got into this thing. It was healthy for me. It was a reset. So hope you all love this episode. I'm very deeply enthusiastic about it, as you've heard. Don't forget to go check out the podcast, co-podcast.co, to check them out. And if you're looking to sponsor one of these shows, go see what might be a good fit. And there's information about that too. Check it out, co-podcast.co. Huge thanks to Yoni Wolf and the band Y for our theme music. Thanks to Alex Sugg for our soundtrack. Thanks to Ryan for being a co-host on this episode and for all the assistance with the network and sponsors and content stuff. Thanks to Sophie Pizza for my wife for content assistance, moral support, and all that. Thanks to Jordan Aaron for editing the show, and thanks to you. And until we speak again, stay pepped up.